This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon. A jury has awarded Rudy Giuliani the must pay two Georgia election workers almost $150 million in damages. The former mayor of New York City and Trump attorney was previously found guilty of defaming the women. CBS's Tom Foti reports.
He says he will appeal, but the one-time America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, has lost a huge 2020 election-related defamation case and, as of now, is under court order to pay $148 million to two former Georgia election workers he falsely accused of election fraud. His reaction?
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
In fact, he did have the option to testify and chose not to. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Israel is mourning the death of three Israeli hostages killed by friendly fire in Gaza City. The BBC's Frank Gardner in Jerusalem says Israel remains focused on reaching a deal to secure the release of all of the remaining hostages being held by Hamas.
The RAL reports that David Barnier, the head of Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, is going to be meeting somewhere in Europe with Qatar's Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani, to resume negotiations on a possible exchange. Gaza is a war zone. It's really difficult to rescue hostages in that situation.
Time is running out for homeless migrants and their children, limited to 60 days in city housing under an order issued by New York City's mayor. Mohamed Diallo is a migrant from Guinea.
We are here every day. People are here every day. Even if you get a shelter, it's for a short time, like 30 days. It means you are not even going to sleep. Because every single day, you are waiting for the guard to come to wake you up to tell you, listen, tomorrow you need to leave. You need to leave.
Mayor Eric Adams says the limit on staying in the shelter system comes in response to an overwhelming number of asylum seekers crossing into the U.S. through the southern border. The house where four University of Idaho students were murdered last November will soon be gone.
The University of Idaho now owns the house on King Road and says it'll be demolished December 28th. The university says this is a step forward in healing for students and the community.
The area where the house is located is very dense with students, and we wanted to do it at a time when they wouldn't have to be there to be a part of that. And so that fell to the winter break, making the most sense.
But the family of Kaylee Gonzalez, one of the four students killed, is asking why demolition can't wait until after trial, though that date is still undetermined.
KREM-TV's Shannon Moody. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
I'm Tamron Hall. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Temperatures getting low, but demand remains high? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Says there are around 150,000 lead service pipes throughout the state and another 229,000 that may have connections made out of lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A.J. Dillon unlikely to play. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A.J. Dillon has been the Packers' best running back this season, but we've learned on one of the last plays of the game Monday in New York, Dillon's right hand was crushed by a helmet. He now has a broken right thumb. Aaron Jones has been out a month with an MCL sprain. Is he ready yet?
I'm feeling a lot better. Got to move around today in practice and making great strides, so I'm
Going to take it day by day, but I feel I'm confident.
Wisconsin's volleyball team is coming home. They lost in the semifinals last night in Tampa, 3-1 to the Texas Longhorns, who advanced to the finals against Nebraska on Sunday. The Badgers men's basketball team able to get another win at home, this time 75-60 over Jacksonville State. Wisconsin now 8-3. They return to the Kohl Center next Friday night against Chicago State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
We are going to have to really work to get things offensively because they're a good defensive team.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
WRJN weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, rain showers, a high near 46. Rain tonight, a low of 40. Rain ends for Sunday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies and a high near 45. A slight chance of snow Sunday night as we drop to 28. Monday, partly sunny, windy 32.
Right now, it's 41.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
December 16th, 2023. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, cover boy Donnie Brown, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Walk Radio Studios in the old NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And this morning's guests represent the second of three generations that I know of who are part of the Waukesha South sports tradition. Older brother Billy is currently the boys varsity soccer coach who has put together a winning tradition there and is also a phys ed teacher. And as a student, he starred in soccer and basketball before embarking, continuing that successful career at Ripon College in both sports. Billy returned to his hometown to coach boys varsity basketball before handing over the reins to Bo Richter and was also an assistant basketball coach at Carroll University. And then younger brother Julian, excuse me as I scroll down on my notes here.
Who's unemployed currently.
Julian was, this I just found out, the Associated Press Basketball Player of the Year in 1999, his senior year, when he led the Blackshirts to a conference championship, I believe, and a regional final appearance. He's considered the greatest basketball player in South history, perhaps all of Waukesha High School basketball history, and still owns, you know, more than 20 years later, the scoring and rebounding records. And then he was a member, as a member of Dick Bennett's Wisconsin Badger team that went to the Final Four, and he's coached with some major basketball programs as an assistant at Memphis and at Georgia Tech. He also has a master's and a bachelor's in bachelor's in psychology from Carroll, where he finished, and a master's in school counseling from Marquette, and has also forged a great career as a counselor. And Julian, I didn't share this with you, but I'm a Spartan, so I remember that 2000 Flintstone
beat us
team
four times. Yeah,
but I remember.
I still think that's one of the all-time great NCAA teams. You know, you look.
I agree.
The just because they, you know, the way the landscape has gone now with the players being so much younger and so forth. You look that was just an old veteran team. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, beat us four times that year.
Mateen Cleaves, and I remember in that Final Four game.
the score at halftime was like 20-4. It was a real defensive battle.
Yeah.
It was a really low scoring. And I think that was Coach Bennett's strategy against this high flying Michigan State team. And so that had to be a pretty exciting experience. Not many people get to go to a Final Four.
Yeah, it was neat. That whole ride was
sure.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Sure. So, but back to the present day and switching gears to Billy, because we didn't have a chance to meet about another great soccer season. Tell us how the boys finished.
Well, we had another winning season. That's three winning seasons in a row overall. And we had back-to-back winning seasons in the Classic Eight. It was a great year to follow what was arguably one of our best years a year ago.
Right. You went to the regional final, correct?
We did win the regional final, went to sectionals.
Okay.
That's how you say it. You lost to Marquette. You know, they're number one historically every year.
Yeah.
Top five for sure in the state.
Sure.
And so, you know, to follow that up, the crazy stat this year is we had two wins, zero losses, and six ties in the Classic Eight.
Wow.
So I think we finished fourth or fifth, but we had zero losses. And there's some coaches that we met at the all-conference meeting. Yeah. And I asked John Bizworm from CMH, who started CMH's boys soccer program in the late 70s, I believe.
Really?
He's still the coach, and he said he's never seen anything like it. So,
wow.
The guys bought in. Guys were great. Because we just didn't know what to expect this year.
Sure.
Following last year's team, we graduated a lot of seniors a year ago.
And without your All-State goalkeeper, Charlie Merlos, right?
Charlie decided to play in the MLS next team. He was All-State. He was keeper of the year in the conference as a junior, and so he chose to play at the club level, and so we had to find a keeper and kind of rebuild in the back a little bit. We changed our formation this year, had to play a little bit more defensive, which probably led to all the ties. But at the end of the day, we got three winning seasons in a row overall, and back to back Classic Eight winning seasons. So
sure,
it's been great,
terrific. Hey, and I forgot, and I apologize to mention our faithful producer, Anastasia. Welcome, Anya.
Morning. How are you?
Just great. Always glad that you're here and for everything you do, not only for my show, but for many great shows, including Maggie Dawn that appears. That's 6 to 7, Monday through Friday, correct?
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, and later on in the show, Pete Schwabel will be calling in, a new personality to Civic Media, and he's also on WAUK Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., and his show my show is pretty much about all things Waukesha. Pete's show is about all things Wisconsin. So we're looking forward to Pete's call. I believe it's later on this hour. And great guy from Marinette. Small world. I used to work with his sister, Julie, when I lived down in Evanston, Illinois, back in the roaring 90s. So it's great to reconnect with the Schwabe family. And so basketball scores last night. South had lost to OCon. I think they think they're icons out there. Now, there was a 12-point loss. I didn't get a final score. I was
83-71, I believe.
83-71.
Yeah, I didn't go to the game, but yeah.
Thanks, Julie. And then West had lost to Maguanago 68-48, so a tough loss for them. And then our game of the week last night, Waukesha North had lost to Kettle Moraine 76-43. Patrick still led the North Stars with 19 points, and the score betrays what a great game it was for most of the game. It was, there were double digit lead changes in the first half. Really great back and forth. And then it was an 8-point KM lead at halftime. But in the second half, North had scratched their way back to, like a 4-point deficit. You know, it was still a game. And because KM could go deeper into their bench, I mean, there are guys 7 or 8 or 9 in the lineup that could start for a lot of other teams. And so I think it was just really a war of attrition. But, unfortunately, like, as has been the experience for South, you know, a lot of Classic Eight games, you know, the wheels come off, you know, much earlier in football, of course, because of the depth of talent in these other schools. So, but last night we had the honor of having the varsity football coach at North, Vinciano, on in the pregame along with athletic director Carl Anderson, and they're excited to be playing in the Parkland Conference next season, more equitable, playing field. And then also, Carl Anderson has been working with South's athletic director, Dan Schreier, and things are looking really good for the rest of the athletic program to move over into the Woodland Conference. So same thing. It's I guess that all used to be one conference, Parkland and Woodland, like all those teams. But the demographics, you know, the resources, they all match up. They align much better with North and South versus, like, you know, I always compare North and South playing in the Classic Eight for football, like Whitewater trying to play in the Big Ten.
So. Yeah, a couple things on that. Just coaching basketball and soccer here in the last 20-some years, coming back, built a lot of relationships with coaches that are still coaching. Jeff Stallis at Arrowhead on the soccer side and Craig Hazy on the basketball side, and, you know, the list goes on. So personally, I'm going to miss the Classic Eight, but what our athletic director, Dan Schreier, has done at some of our coaches' meetings is he showed us where all of our sports have record-wise what we've done the last 10 years
right
on a spreadsheet.
Sure, sure.
And him and I had a conversation, you know, look at this spreadsheet when we start the Woodland Conference for all sports. Let's look back, you know, let's 10 years and let's look back at that. And the colors that are coded with wins, losses, and ties is going to completely change.
Yeah.
And so it's sad to, you know, personally, you know, being a lifelong black shirt in this community and playing in competitive conferences, going all the way back.
Yeah.
And coaching in these competitive conferences.
Right.
You know, it's a no-brainer.
It really is.
You know, for North and
it'll encourage more kids to participate.
Right. Right.
In sports. So. Which I think will be great. So just a lot of positives. So, so switching back to Julian, in addition to your success on the court, you also had a 4.15 GPA at Waukesha South. And perhaps, like I said, as we discussed before the show, probably one of your greatest achievements has been your successful battle over mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. Nothing any kid dreams of. And I know this from my own family's experiences. And, again, I want to say it really meant a lot to me, having a mental health history in my family, that someone like yourself had come out very publicly about your struggles, how you overcame them, and even pursued academic, you know, your professional career in counseling.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, first off, when I was joking, obviously, when I said unemployed, but it actually is true. I decided I had been gone 11 years. Like you said, I coached 4 at Memphis and then the last 7 at Georgia Tech. My boss, who's just awesome, we got let go in the spring of the year. There's an AD change. And like I said, the culture, the landscape of college with NIL, portal, everything. And essentially he just kind of came in and he wanted his own guy. And it was very easy to see. I thought I would struggle with that. Been very, very proud just to how I've handled that. And I knew right away I could take the advantage of I'm still single, no kids. Put a little plug in there. I don't know if there's any single anybody at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. 844-967-2789.
I'm a very eligible bachelor.
Yes, very much
so. Has a master's degree.
on a Saturday morning at 7. But took advantage. Honestly, in all reality, though, been really, really lucky and fortunate to be able to take almost like a sabbatical year. And I wanted to really invest in spending a lot of time with my parents and doing some things that I haven't been able to do in the last 11 years, being gone and so forth. And anyway, just really grateful, appreciative. Just one of, you know, I've just had a lot of great experiences. One of these being on the show, watching, we talk about Billy. I got to watch his whole soccer season. That's awesome. I coached the South varsity team. We talked about them with my dad all summer and fall.
Fantastic.
So I've had a fun year. And
good. When we come back from these important community messages, more with the Swartz brothers and Julian's up, success in many ways, and Billy's. And the Carol Minute will be coming up soon, too. So don't go away as this week Waukesha continues on WAUK 101 FM, 540 AM.
The Shaw, WAUK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reverse of Roe v. Wade is the right Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK. Is the Shaw, WAUK.
In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, "Won't see another one." And then he sang a song. The rare old mountain.
Hey, we're back listening to Waukesha. And I can't play this song enough this holiday season. It's the Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. And be our first Christmas without Shane McGowan, who recently passed away. And this song was performed at his funeral with Glenn Hansard and a collection of other artists. And if you're into the Pogues, or you're into any type of, if you like rock and roll, I highly encourage, actually, and this is going to sound strange, but I'm Irish, watch Shane McGowan's funeral, and because it's like a concert. It's just a great musical celebration of the guy's life. And I just learned that the Catholic Church was very upset about the way the funeral was organized and said it was very inappropriate. But that's, you know, Shane McGowan wanted to be buried. He was a Catholic, and in spite of his many, his own bouts with alcoholism and other struggles, that's how he wanted to be buried. He was buried with one of his favorite LPs, which was the first LP I had ever bought, and I'm showing my age here, was that Led Zeppelin II, and a DVD of The Godfather, among other relics. So I thought that was because he loved movies. So we continue to celebrate him here. It's for me, Don Brown, it's Shane's world. We just live in it. But actually, here in Waukesha, some would say it's the Swartz's world.
No.
So. But it's neat. Three generations in one school. Your dad had coached here. At halftime, I had Al Alt on my show, who coached a lot of different sports around the same time. I guess his daughter played for your dad when he was coaching
Mary Beth
at North. Yeah. And so it's just neat that you have this continuity of families that are part of the Waukesha community. Last week we had, when I announced you guys were coming in the show, the woman's last name was Pew, and she said, "My family's been in Waukesha South for three generations too." And I said, "Oh, we should have you on the show." And she said, "Well, my granddaughter Meredith Marks was on the show last week, promoting the South program." And
Pew's a great family.
Yeah, and, you know, and it says a lot about this community that you have people that choose to stay here and build their lives here, as the Schwartz family has, and even to come back like you have. That Waukesha's still a very special place. So, care to comment on that?
Yeah, no. Very much so. And like I was saying, just grateful and appreciative as I look up just kind of the, you know, WAUK, a week in Waukesha. It's just, you know, been gone 11 years, and it's really, it's cool to be back. And just have been enjoying just a lot of different unique experiences. One like this, like I said, got to watch Billy. Billy can really, really coach.
Sure.
Their soccer team was incredibly fun to watch. They're inspirational. I say I'm just taking the year and staying with my parents, and it's incredible watching their players. They sneak onto that soccer field over across the street, nice. And it's unbelievable. I mean, there's a reason why they've been so successful. Those guys just play, play, play. And it's been really, really neat to see. And speaking with my dad, probably the coolest thing I've gotten to do, I approached Coach Richter this summer, and I got my dad to sit on the bench with me, and we coached the South Varsity for 23 games in the summer, and then and then 10 games in the fall. Just to do that with my dad was extremely special, and then be able to coach Billy's son, who's hurt right now, Morgan, who very, very close with. So anyway, that's kind of, what I've been up to.
Yeah, that's terrific, and it's great to be able to reconnect with family here. And I want to switch gears with here and just go right into the Carroll Minute. Speaking of basketball, and I know Swartz Brothers will appreciate this. One day after earning the CCIW Women's Basketball Student Athlete of the Week honors, Carroll guard Olivia Rangel earned a spot on the D3Hoops.com Team of the Week, basically the National Team of the Week. And I had the honor of broadcasting. The Pioneer women's team has won their last two games, a commanding 24-point victory over North Park. But then last Saturday, they beat number one team in the conference, number nine in the nation, undefeated Milliken, who arguably they have the player of the year on their team, a senior named Elise Knudsen, amazing player. And Olivia scored 30 points in that game. And again, it went into overtime. It was just really exciting. And with 1.7 seconds left in the game after a missed Milliken shot, all Carroll had to do was inbound, make sure there were no. And they're inbounding it from that same spot where Isaiah Thomas threw the ball and Larry Bird stole it. And then when that playoff game, so I was like, oh, God, don't. Whatever you do, throw it the other way. Deep. Throw it deep. They found Olivia Rangel about near half court, right where I was broadcasting, and in front of the university president, Dr. Cindy Nattinger, who's been a huge, one of the big reasons the Carroll Athletic Program has really picked it up a few gears in recent years. And after Rangel caught the ball and let the clock run out, you know, everyone was standing and clapping, including the president, and she was standing as close to Olivia as Billy is to me, and Olivia handed her the ball, like giving her the game ball. It was such a cool moment, and very impromptu, too. Just a really classy thing from this junior from Franklin. That's one of many stars in this.
She pulled the Giannis, got her the ball.
Yeah.
Somebody had 50 last night, Jalen Brunson.
Wow.
Nixon, and one of the players, it was funny, kind of made a spark of that and went and grabbed it and made sure he got it. You know, just kind of trolling Giannis a little bit.
I love it.
Oh, it was funny the other night.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and so The Student Athlete of the Week award, that was Rangel's second and only 5 weeks into this season. So wow. I thought that was a terrific, it's just a great honor for this growing team that's 7-3-1. As Billy was saying, Lindsay Schultz has done a great job coaching that program there and building it up to its recent successes.
Knowing Lindsay, long time, and I was on the men's side from 13 to 19.
That's what I was going to ask you, too. Because you guys, both of you have a connection to Carroll.
He's a Ripon grad.
That's right.
And I'm a Carroll grad. And,
that's right.
Yeah, it's funny. But then he came over to the good side. And I love Ripon. I was like my second town growing up watching Billy. So
yeah. No, one of my favorite athletes is a Ripon graduate named Lane Barnes, who's playing pro ball in Germany. And he's had a lot. I had the fortune of working with him a few years ago. And it's great to see him continuing his professional career and really enjoying. And in Germany, of all places, how fun is that?
So, I'll tell you what, D3, make a plug for D3.
Yeah.
I mean, spending 5 years of my college career playing three sports at Ripon, and then I spent 2 years as an assistant men's basketball coach right out of college, and I was at soccer as well, and then spending 6 years at Carroll here recently as an assistant. D3 sports across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, you're paying to play, and it's probably, you know, the most pure there still is.
I call it the authentic college sports experience.
And you watch that Division III national championship football game last night. North Central. They're in Carroll's conference.
My regrets to John Stillman. I know he's still probably very heartbroken.
Yeah, he's a
38-37.
Yeah, he's a proud North Central.
It sure is. Yeah, had a great
alum. And you know, D3 sports though is so pure, and it's so good. And people have no idea. High school kids have no idea how good you got to be to play.
Yep, absolutely. That's very true. When we come back from these important messages, more with the Swartz brothers on their triumphs and tribulations, as well as some other local news, especially Christmas shopping. So don't go away. Plenty more to unwrap here on This Week in Waukesha. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas.
could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Rudy Giuliani says he's appealing the $148 million awarded to two former Georgia election workers he falsely claimed conspired to change votes in the 2020 election.
I am quite confident when this case gets before a fair tribunal, it'll be reversed so quickly. It'll make your head spin.
Shea Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman, received death threats and racist taunts. Protesters in Tel Aviv, after learning the three hostages held by Hamas were killed by friendly fire in Gaza, they're demanding renewed negotiations to release the remaining hostages. Migrants in New York City shelters will soon have to clear out. Liza Schwartzwald is with the New York Immigration Coalition.
They may, all of the services and the connections and the community that they've been building in the place where they currently are, all of that could go away.
City housing is limited to 60 days. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrace Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be... Pat! Got, come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
WRJN weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, rain showers, a high near 46. Rain tonight, a low of 40. Rain ends for Sunday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies and a high near 45. A slight chance of snow Sunday night as we drop to 28. Monday, partly sunny, windy 32.
Right now, it's 41.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Sunny day, somewhere in London, in the middle of nowhere. Didn't have nothing to do that day, didn't want to do nothing anyway.
You got a way of walking.
You guys know this song?
No, it's good though.
Hey, we're back. This week, Waukesha on WAUK 101.1 FM 540 AM, The Shaw. And I'm your host, Don Brown, with the Swartz Brothers. And you're listening to Sinead O'Connor with Shane McGowan doing one of the lesser known great love songs called Haunted. And so, I'll make sure you get a link to that, Julian. I'm doing like
yeah,
that
no,
song. That was a great song. We also lost Sinead O'Connor earlier this year. So it's just a nice little ode to both of them. Great, brilliant artist.
Sounds like good napping music.
Right yeah. There. Yeah. It's, there you yeah. go. There you go. So, hey, Anya, I think now would be a good time to play that that speech again at the 1805 mark, please. And I'll tell you when to stop and see if the Swartz boys know it.
The youngest member of my family, Joseph, is, and this is a dedicated trophy that a lot.
Whoop, we keep bouncing it out. No, that's okay. I think we got enough. I think enough of that.
My family, here we go. Joseph is very ill. He has leukemia. And if I could dedicate this trophy to him tonight, and give him a couple days of happiness, this is worth everything.
Thanks. Do you guys know what that was? 50 years ago this week, December 13th, 1973.
Sports related?
Definitely sports related.
Joe?
It took place in 1973. It took place at in New York City, this moment. A trophy acceptance speech. That might give it away right there.
Would that be the Heisman?
The Heisman Trophy Award presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joe Namath.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Namath. But it was Pennsylvania where Namath's from. It was Penn State's only Heisman Trophy winner, John Cappelletti.
Yeah, no way it was.
And at this presentation, he dedicated the trophy to his younger brother, Joey, who was battling with leukemia.
Oh, wow.
They made a movie for television about it. Like a couple years later that I remember my mom had us watch all of these shows like Brian Song and Eric and mm-hmm. some because, you know, I'd lost a brother to leukemia before I was born. And that moment, it really surprised and disappointed me that nobody in sports media had really reflected on that moment, that even in the Heisman Trophy presentation last week, there was no reference to it at all. And mm-hmm. that was one of the most inspiring moments in 20th century American sports history. I mean, that to me is up there with the U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Soviet Union in 1980. And again, I guess it's personal for me, but still very surprising. And I also wonder, too, if Penn State's hesitant to really celebrate that or honor that in light of the Jerry Sandusky scandal that happened many years later. I wrote a blog about this, too, and I think it's something that the university and now their Big Ten school that they should embrace that really all these collegiate sports writers and teams. And even in civic media, my own, this, I was kind of disappointed that with this very deep bench of great sports reporting professionals that no one had really commented on it or mentioned it on any of their shows. And it's a good lead in because what made that moment special too for a family like ours is when Cappelletti did that, he made something very public that a lot of families chose to be very private about. Mm-hmm. And he made it okay to talk about cancer and leukemia, and especially back then, the research hadn't really come to where the point that. And so moments like that had led to more research and more progress. And it's actually, again, it's, you know, when you were diagnosed with leukemia in the 60s and even the early 70s, it was a death sentence. But today there's, you know, there's higher percentage of kids and adults that that live with it, that survive it. And which is a great lead into, you know, your own personal struggles, Julie, in that you were very public about your mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. And how you had fought to overcome them. And it's really kind of you to talk more about this here on the show this morning.
You know, I'm 43 now, and you know, looking back, I think one of the things most proud of is just how, you know, how open that I was at a time, and again, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, the stereotype, and just not the education, the awareness, the acceptance, and so forth. It just wasn't thing that was really talked about. You know, it was if you, there were struggles and things, it was more physical dominated. Mental health, as we know it, really wasn't at the forefront. And so just kind of looking back, listen, at the time, honestly, when I was open and honest through a lot of different outlets, whether it be the media who kind of picked up on it. I did a lot of speaking. I spoke probably at every different venue and audience and so forth. Did a lot of teaching of it as well. But at that time for me, I wish I would have maybe had better therapy. I don't know that I necessarily, the core of what I was going through was maybe getting addressed. From a professional standpoint at that time, it was kind of like I took the lead in trying to do it myself, and thought at that time trying to help other people ultimately was the best form of therapy. Looking back, I don't know if that was, but my heart was in the right place. You know, I did that just to, like I said, just to try to help other people. And I think God really took it. If you would, you know, see this kind of the stories and the stuff that I've received, and it's pretty incredible. And I think God kind of took it. And like I said, looking back now, something that really just proud of is, I mean, you look at where mental health is now. I mean, even the words mental health,
right?
I mean,
the behavioral health.
And just like I had OCD. OCD now is like they use it as an adjective. People back in the 20 years ago, what's OCD?
What's that?
And so it's really come full circle. I've got some incredible stories. And so just being able to, again, I did it to ultimately, I thought it was helping myself. And I think the biggest thing, and something I'm very proud of is to this day, just never was embarrassed. Never was embarrassed, never was ashamed. And I was just very open and honest. And I thought if it could help somebody else, you know, great. And it's just really cool to see where things have come.
Yeah.
You know,
really
especially
has.
Professionally, you know, you get all these celebrities in that. And let me just say this too, in coaching, you know, because I've coached at the youth level, I've coached at the high school level, coached at the high major level, college level. Mm-hmm. And it is so needed.
Yeah. Good mental health. We all could use it.
It's incredible.
Needs to be more affordable.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you look like I love the Ohio State football coach. I mean, I think he's got four full-time professionals, you know, at that level. And I think it could be used more so, you know, even at the high school level, youth level. So, I just think it's important. It's valuable. It's critical, you know, and just happy to see where that's all come.
Yeah. And again, I want to use this platform to thank you, because you and your family have made this okay for other people dealing with it to come out. You know, it's okay because it's like any other disease, you know, cancer or an injury or COVID or the flu, that it shouldn't be this stigmatized. It should be something that the more public you are about it, I think the greater your chances for getting the help that you need.
Right. Exactly.
So, especially in this holiday season too, which there's a lot of people that, you know,
it's
gonna be very seasonal.
Even being back, I mean, listen, I've been 11 years in a warmer weather climate, and even kind of transitioning back has been, and obviously, you know, you talk about depression, and there are a lot of different, disorders and mental illness that correlate with just kind of seasonal and definitely probably around here. Just this kind of, you know, it's been, it's opened my eyes a little bit. Like you just, you forget about how dark it gets early and how cold and just, you know, I mean, it can, these dog days are, it's not easy.
Right. Right. That's so true. Yeah. So, and that's what, you know, one of the things one of my family members observed in his travels that like the people he thought that were the most charismatic were people that grew up kind of in the broader Midwest here with a lot of cloudy days and not necessarily great weather. Cause you, in a lot of ways you had to invent your own fun. You didn't have a beach to go to. You didn't have, you know, a sunny diamond on a beach. I was just waiting for you and your friends to play like in January or those things. And so in a lot of ways, I think there's a lot of creativity, a lot of great athletes, a lot of great, you know, scholars and come out of this region of the country for that very reason. Mm-hmm. That you have to kind of take the vacation inside your head or you know, kind of create your own fun. So, and then I know the Swartz families have, Swartz family has for many generations here in Waukesha. Tell us about, oh, and Anya, do we have a caller? Yes, we do. Sorry about that. Who's our caller?
We have the one and only Pete Schwaba on the line.
Pete Schwaba. Okay, we're going to switch another Wisconsin native who's come home like Julian Swartz. Pete, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good, Don. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for your patience. Pete Schwaba, I was telling you about from the Marinette Schwabas, has a new show on WAUK and in other stations in the civic media stratosphere called Nightlight. It's from 8 to 10. And after I was broadcasting the North KM game last night, Pete, I caught the tail end of your show. And it was great. There was a guy, I forget, the last name's Anderson. What was his first name?
Oh, Frank Anderson. He's great. Yeah, he founded the website, Wisconsinology.com. Great website.
And if you want some great Wisconsin lore, I highly recommend it. I was reading this morning about a music genre unique to Wisconsin called Polkabilly, which I thought was really neat. Yeah, yeah. So
I was not aware of that, but I will say this, Don. We, last night, we talked about 10 Chimneys, which is in Waukesha County, right. I believe.
Yeah, and it's a former actress, right?
Like, with Frank.
Yeah, it's off there, like, off of 83.
Yeah.
And up there in the Cutamarine area.
And, who was the actress that owned it?
Joan Fontaine.
That's right, Joan Fontaine.
Yeah. Yeah, and they hosted Laurence Olivier and Katharine Hepburn. It was like a revolving door of big Broadway stars that would come to Southeast Wisconsin and stay at this estate, which is now a museum. So I just learned about it last week. Sure. I can't wait to check it out.
And for our movie expert in residence here, Anastasia, you should definitely you should check out 10 Chimneys. I hear I want to take my wife there one of these days.
Check out the location, or is there also
a film? It's like a tour. No, it's a house, right? Yeah, and that's where Joan Fontaine and her husband or partner, he was also in the filmmaking industry, correct?
Yeah, they were Broadway stars, the biggest stars in the world.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And, they would bring people here to Southeast Wisconsin to their estate, and it's a museum now. It's supposed to be really cool.
That's what I heard. So, yeah, we definitely want to check that out. So, but, you know, your show is about kind of all things Wisconsin, kind of like what my show is, like all things Waukesha. And I've noticed, I've lived in many places, and one thing I know about, there is kind of a Wisconsin state of mind that's almost universal, like throughout the state. There's a kind of a common culture. Obviously, there's the brandy old-fashioned and the cheese curds. But why do you think that is, Pete? Whereas other states can be very regionalized.
Boy, that's a good question. You kind of put me on the spot here pretty early, Don.
Sure.
I don't know. Wisconsin is a really, it is a unique place. It's very quirky. I'm a transplant, but what I've fallen in love with is kind of the sense of humor that people have. They're pretty self-deprecating, and they definitely like their old fashions and their cheese curds. So, I would totally agree with you there.
Yeah, no doubt. And so,
brandy old fashioned though.
Brandy old fashioned. Yeah, not just old fashioned.
It's funny. I just started actually appreciating old fashions and everywhere else except Wisconsin.
You didn't get those down in Georgia and Memphis.
But no, it's whiskey.
Right.
It's bourbon or whiskey. Yep. This is the only place with brandy.
Sure. Sure. Pete, can you stick around after can you stick around after we make these important community messages? Do you have a couple minutes? Okay. Yeah. So stick around. More to talk about with the Swartz brothers and with Pete Schwaba of Nightlight here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. Do not go away.
My world around you. I'm blessed to say I found you.
I'll stay beside you. I'll never leave or tell you all those lies that you never believe.
ask. I want to be home.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. And we played this song last week. And to these Waukesha natives, Julia and Billy Swartz, see if you can recognize the band. The vocal should give it away.
This ain't my area, Billy. It's all you.
If I tell you where these guys are from, you'll know. Tell you what, they used to record albums when back in the dark days of Waukesha downtown, maybe the early 90s. Yeah, Bodine's.
Oh, right. I love the
this is their Christmas
now.
Song, Christmas time, yeah.
I saw the Bodine's in concert in high school.
Nice. But they
speak about Main Street. And
yeah. Anya, have you been to Mountaintop Cafe yet on Main Street?
I have not.
That's the great. So, in fact, I'll be there after the show meeting small business champion and realtor Troy Thiel, and he's meeting a local city planning expert named Michael Stump. So, I'll get to meet for the first time. So, I'll be at Mountaintop, further down on Main, a few doors down from People's Park. Was back when that was a boarded up building. It was the landlords would rent it out to bands like the Bodines because it was space and they could make a recording studio out of it, and that's where some of the Bodine's best stuff was made, including other bands.
That's awesome.
So
my dad, a long time sixth grade teacher, and he had one of the Bodine's in class.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's neat.
He had a lot of
Sam Milanis, I think.
Yep.
Was that it?
I think so.
So very cool. All right, and Pete Schwab, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Were you a big Bodine's fan, Pete?
I was. I actually, it's funny, I discovered that song probably about 20 years ago, and it's actually one of my favorite Christmas songs by like a rock band.
It's really well done, yeah.
I made a film about 20 years ago or a little less called The Godfather of Green Bay, and
that's right.
The Bodines were one of my favorite bands. And I reached out and got in contact with Kurt Newman of the band, and he ended up writing a score for the movie. And gave me a lot of Bodine songs to use.
Nice.
So I've sort of become friends with Kurt. And, big fan. Love the Bodine.
That's great. That's great. Now, Pete, just like Julian, you had traveled to seek your professional success and fortune. I know you did stand-up comedy. You did some acting. And you've also done some radio down in L.A. Is that correct?
I didn't do radio out there. When
okay.
I was in L.A., I was primarily a stand-up and a writer.
Writer, that's it.
Fortunate to have some. I enjoyed it. I wrote primarily movies, but also some TV. I wrote on a TV show called Sports Soup, where we would sit in a room and watch sports and write jokes about it. It was one of the best jobs I ever had in my life.
That's
and
very
we
cool.
Perform sketches. It was really fun. Yeah.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I lived out there for about 14 years and wrote some movies, wrote some TV, and I enjoyed the warm weather. I heard you guys talking about that too. I become a wimp pretty fast about winter when you live in a warm climate for a period of time.
Sure. Now, are you living in Green Bay or are you back at Marinette near the family?
I'm north of Green Bay. Yeah.
Okay.
Closer to Marinette. So it's, and I
not
broadcast my show out of Green Bay. So yeah, I commute back and forth, which,
fantastic.
Just avoid the deer. And, other than that, it's not a bad commute at all. Yeah.
Now, Pete had me as a surprise guest on his show, and that was a lot of fun. And the show we mentioned that we what should we say, a mutual acquaintance, or I have a history with the Schwabe family that Pete didn't know about.
I did not. Yeah, my sister Julie, you guys both worked in Evanston at a restaurant. Was it the Davis Street?
It was a restaurant group called the Clean Plate Club, and it was four conceptually unique restaurants. And the first restaurant was the Davis Street Fish Market, which was Chicagoland's first attempt at, or successful attempt at, Cajun, like New Orleans style seafood. It was a really fun place. Like, there was no menu. The menu was a big chalkboard, or different chalkboards, because the fish was coming in fresh daily. And they took, like, there was an actual retail fish market in the front as you walked in near the bar, and they would cut out fish paper, and that became the tablecloth. The servers all had, like, shorts and, running shoes and the T-shirts on the back. You know, it said Davis Street Fish Market on the front, but on the back it had like a picture of an old guy carrying a big crate of crabs, and it says, "Forget about the meatloaf, Mama. I'm coming home with the crabs." And there would be an hour wait for dinner, like even on a Monday night. It was such a great place, and it was so much Friday nights.
That was the first place. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, my wife and I went there at Julie's urging for lobster, and all I'd ever had to that point was lobster tail. So we get there and they put this full lobster on the plate, and I'm like, I kind of didn't even know how to go about it. It's like a little overwhelming.
Sure.
I'm like, what parts of this do we eat? You know?
Yep. So,
but it was a great atmosphere and a really fun place. Yeah,
it sure was. Yeah. And the other places, there was the place that I kind of cut my teeth was a place called Tommy Nevin's Pub, or most people knew it as Nevin's Pub. And it was the first Irish pub concept that wasn't in an urban Irish neighborhood. Evanston's urban, it's where Northwestern is, but it wasn't like in an Irish neighborhood. And we had like Irish or Irish American staff. We had a perfect pint of Guinness. We sold the most Guinness in the state of Illinois, and it was really great. We'd have traditional music on Sundays, and on St. Patrick's Day, when there'd be a line out the door, the owner would come out with a bottle of Paddy, which you couldn't get in the U.S. at the time. And he'd have little plastic shot cups on a tray, and he'd pour the Paddy, and he'd give it to people while they're waiting in line in the cold. It's like, there were just so many great touches. We also had a barbecue place and a New York style jazz steakhouse that had live jazz every night. So it was really great. If the owner hadn't died in 95, I'd probably still be working for him. It was a real impresario. And so you got to meet people, colorful people like Julie Schwabe and now her brother Pete. So it's like that that experience is a gift that still keeps giving. So, and Julie's back in Wisconsin too, right? After a time in L.A.?
Yes, I was just going to say, she went out to L.A., I don't know, a few years after we did, lived right by us, and then we came back to Wisconsin about 10 years ago, and then Julie came back about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and now she lives really close to us, too.
That's great.
So, it's fun. And
sounds good.
You can't put a price on being close to family,
Well, Pete Schwabe, I can't wait to catch more of your show Monday through Fridays, 8 to 10 p.m., and think about putting the Swartz brothers on your show one of these nights. They're a big part of Wisconsin
8
history.
To 10 p.m. is more my time.
Not since
this year, this 7 to 9 is early for me this year.
We'll do that for sure. You got to come back on, Don. It was fun.
It sure was. Yeah, let's do it again soon. And Pete Schwabe for Nightlight, thanks for calling in, and looking forward to seeing or hearing more great things on your show Monday through Fridays here on WAUK 101 FM 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. Thanks again, Pete. How much time we have before our...
Buddy. Thanks,
so we got 1 minute left, and when we come back from these important messages, we've got another full hour to spend with the Swartz brothers and a lot more to unpack about growing up here in Waukesha, your parents' influence on you, and as well as a progress report on Morgan Schwartz, Billy's son, who's recovering from an ankle injury suffered in the New Berlin West game. And some great Christmas shopping tips, too, as well as some more community news from the city, and including a federal complaint that was recently filed. So lots to unpack here in the second hour this week in Waukesha on WAUK 101.1 FM 540 AM. Do not go away. Look the stranger in the eye.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.